The other woman, the large and lovely with a silver mane, warbled,
"Forget that. Do you have the bank's key, miss?"
Lou stayed cool to her. "It's been an unusual start, ma'am, what with the blackout. It'll just take a minute or so while our manager, Mr. Craddock, procures it for this account. Would anyone like a cup of coffee or tea?" The fat lady didn't like that answer at all. She shifted all her weight to one wide and round hip. She asked Lou again,
"You do have the key, don't you? I'm sure you realize the federal government's particular about with whom they do business in the private sector. I hope we won't have delays."
The light toasting stiffened Lou's retreat. As she reached the door, she turned and sarcastically quipped, "We certainly don't want to disappoint anyone, including the majority of our clients. I'm speaking of the all-important public sector." Lou spun a touch more on the tile, like a fashion model, and fully faced the group. But those big brown eyes of hers had really set on the perfectly presented safe boxes. "We haven't had an opportunity to service the government's account for many, many years. At least that's what I'm told." "Well," said the skinny guy, "a little variety on Mondays can make life interesting." Lou set her jaw and left. I reached out to touch not someone, but something, Lou's blazer. Crawling back into my dungeon with the gang's attention on each other, I waited for a chance. I slipped a note I had written earlier into the pocket with her smokes. Meanwhile, hard stares from two ugly faces were met head-on with glares from the third. When they finally relented, the threesome cast a long look at the last box in the room. The three-key drawer, with half the alphabet typed on the label. Box 291.
"Wilson,"
snapped Fat Lady.